This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Good evening. This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for LGBTI community. We're taking you around the globe, one country at a time. And a big thank you and welcome to Elizabeth for GMTV and Richard for the latest local news. On the Worldwide Wave panel tonight, we've got Matt.
Good evening.
We've got Stefan.
Good evening.
And myself, Ian.
Now, Georgia is a country at the crossroads. Physically, it's sandwiched between Europe, Russia, and the Middle East. Culturally, it's still trying to decide where its allegiances lie. In 2013, an unusual alliance formed. Black-frocked priests and far-right extremists. They joined forces to lead a violent attack on the LGBTI community in the country's capital of Tbilisi.
But there's been some changes in this past 6 years, and despite threats of violence, the first ever Tbilisi Pride was held this year. While it was only small, their plans for the future are big. It is mainly due to a growing band of activists and advocates driving change for LGBTI people. One such person is tonight's guest, Georgi Tabagari from Tbilisi Pride in Georgia.
At the crossroads of Western Europe, Russia and the Middle East is a small country of Georgia. Many Australians would have little idea of what the former Soviet country of Georgia is like, nor the experiences of its LGBTI population. Georgi Tabagari leads Tbilisi Pride in Georgia's capital. We asked Georgi to give us an idea of what life is like for LGBTI people in Georgia.
Well, Georgia is, first of all, geographically located somewhere in between Europe and Asia at the very crossroad. And it also reflects on a lot of cultural aspects in the country and then the society and traditions. It has also been annexed and part of the Soviet Union. So as many other republics, Georgia also got independent in the past 30 years, basically. A restoration of independence. So as you can imagine, because of the past and lack of sort of democratic traditions, the country had to go through different phases of crisis on the verge of independence. So basically, being an LGBT person is not an easy role to have sort of in the country, considering that the church is extremely strong, the Orthodox Christian Church, which is in the country. And itself, the society has a lot of conservative values, which doesn't leave a lot of room for LGBT people to feel integrated and part of the society.
Well, we've read of instances where priests even have joined protests, even violent protests. So is it an extreme type of religion?
Well, it's an Orthodox Christianity, and then we have Georgian Orthodox Church, which, to my understanding and the way I perceive it, is probably one of the most radical flags of Christianity at the moment. And yeah, not only that they have joined the protest, but they were the ones who organized the protest, especially if you look up Tbilisi International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, May 17, 2013. You would see horrible images of priests being aggressive, actually leading the whole mass violence against LGBT people. And yeah, unfortunately, we are living in the reality when, based on the Christian values and the preaching, they try to mobilize extreme violent groups against us.
So you said that was in 2013. Is it still something that can happen now?
Yes, it happened last year as well. When itself, the church is a big institution. It has a support of 85% of the population. And because it's big, it also has internal divisions, and it also has a radical flank within the church who are usually against anything that is sort of like different from the local morals and goes against the conservative ideas and traditions that is established by them. They're often working on advocacy level as well. If you look at the anti-discrimination legislation that Georgia has at the moment, they were lobbying against the legislation. They are filling up their seats in the parliament, and they are having an important say on every decision when it comes not only to LGBT rights, but also the other issues like sex education or women's rights and migration and different issues. And yeah, they have protested in front of the Pride office, Tbilisi Pride office last summer, when we were in a very tense situation and we were expecting radical groups to sort of raid our office and protest in front of it. So they actually did it. So we had to evacuate our office because the priests and the other radical groups were protesting in front of our office space.
You mentioned there that the religious institutions also have this advocacy focus and getting their voice into parliament.
Yes.
Is there a voice for the LGBT community in your parliament?
Well, we don't have anyone who is openly LGBTQI in the parliament. I mean, that's sort of unimaginable at the moment, considering the situation that I have already described. But we do have allies, and we have people like who can voice our concerns in the parliament. I mean, it's not many, but it's a growing number of politicians. And I mean, we are having elections now for 2020 in the parliamentary elections. And we are hoping to get more of this because current ruling party and the government, which is Georgian Dream Party, they are not very LGBT friendly, and they have and their rights have been deteriorating in the past 8 years, basically since they are in power.
It's Gyorgy Tabagari from Tbilisi Pride in Georgia here on Joy 94.9. The power of the religious groups in Georgia is that they are such a dominant force, infiltrating, you know, all sorts of life and parliament. And, you know, that you talk about that separation of church and state just does not exist.
No, not in Georgia, I don't think. It's quite clear that it's led, this homophobic or anti-gay LGBTIQ is led by the church.
They have, not necessarily strange bedfellows, but that, you know, when the big riots took place 6 years ago, linking up with some fairly extreme right-wing, you know, violent groups. There's no surprise that the attack ended in violence there, but not something you would expect to see fully robed priests, you know, swinging their fists and having a fight in the middle of the street. Lots of challenges. I think the one thing that I take away, and we get a bit more of this, we've got more coming up with Gyorgy, is that there is a change going on. It might be small, it might be step by step, but there is definitely a change.
Yeah, no, I think it was saying about having allies in the parliament, so even though there's no openly LGBTIQ people, they are allies there, so it's a beginning of something.
Yeah, and the thing that I'm aware of is that there's an Oscar movie coming up. There's a Swedish movie, which is a Georgian co-production, which has been nominated for an international Oscar for next year. So we can talk about that after the next bit of the interview, but that, I think, is going to put this on the media scene.
And indeed, coming up, we also look at the thorny issue of whether Georgia is more pro-Russia or pro-Europe. You're on Worldwide Wave.
Varada, varada, varada.
You could feel the drama then, couldn't you?
You can, and you can feel the Eurovision drama, I think.
I could see people swaying and whirling and dancing on poles.
That was Georgia's 2019 entry, Oto Nemaste, Keep On Going.
Which is a good message for our guests tonight in fighting for rights in Georgia for LGBTI people. A few messages on Facebook about our guest from last week, Didi Otomo from Gaya Nasatara. So he sent us a thank you for the interview, and Lana, friend of the show, said definitely one to listen to. Emily went to see his public lecture as well while he was here in town.
And Emily actually used to be the program director here. Did you know that?
I did. And now doing very successful LGBT advocacy work right across the Asia Pacific. So great to see.
That's what happens when you start with Joy. Come and volunteer with Joy.
Now, send us your messages, 0427-JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Yeah, get those messages in. We love them. Now, my guest tonight is Georgie Tapagari from Tbilisi, Pride in Georgia. While not yet a member state, Georgia of the European Union, Georgia has been moving closer in its relationship with Europe. One of the criteria for EU membership is protections for minority groups, including LGBTI people. We asked Georgie where he sees Georgia's place in Europe at the moment.
Well, as I said, because it's in between Europe and Asia, it's in between Russia and Turkey. So there are big political players that have always had interests in the region. And Russia, I mean, if you're following what Russia's policies are in Europe, it all often tries to demonize the idea of Europe and the West through LGBT rights, basically promoting it as propaganda, and there are the propaganda laws that are in Russia and in satellite countries of Russia as well. So they try to do the same thing in Georgia as well, basically try to demonize Europe and the idea of the European Union and NATO in the country. And they are using LGBT rights exactly to present out, this is what Europe is. Do you want this kind of Europe? So this is sort of a narrative that they have been spreading in the past years. But so far, they have not been very successful, because the European Union has been also working well in that regard, because we now have an anti-discrimination legislation. The hate crime is punishable, and we have sexual orientation and gender identity included as the grounds for discrimination. Furthermore, Georgia is ranked as 25th place now in Europe in terms of legislative situation regarding LGBT rights. And we are ahead of some of the EU member states like Poland, Lithuania, Romania, Italy, Greece, and a few places that are already members of the EU. Basically, now we are not, the country doesn't have a clear membership perspective of the European Union. I think, to my understanding, this is one of the reasons why, for instance, the last year's Tbilisi Pride was sort of neglected by the government, and they did not care about what Brussels and Washington had to say about this issue. So I would say, as a small country which needs sort of a more push to the direction, we need more carrots from the European Union. I think membership perspective is one of these, because it can trigger further reforms. And you can look at the Balkan countries now, in Serbia, Montenegro, Bosnia. They've all had the successful prides in the past year, just because the government has an incentive to reform and to adjust to the policies of the European Union.
There's also a rise of tourism in Georgia, and especially food tourism, wine. Do you see that could play a part in raising awareness of these issues, or that's completely something that's... What do you think?
Definitely. Georgia is booming. I mean, it's one of the growing destinations where a lot of people are traveling these days. It's a very small country, but it has a lot to offer in terms of nature, in terms of seaside and mountains, very high mountains within an hour drive distance. And you have a nice cuisine, a wine culture, and food. So there's a lot that attracts tourists in the country. So I do believe it also reflected sort of like how many queer-friendly spaces are in the city. Like in Tbilisi. I mean, it's very Tbilisi focused at the moment, because I mean the regions have not yet caught up with the development. But I do think that this is going to play an important role, because there are a lot of safe places now for queer people that we can go and feel safe. Also, a lot of tourists are coming, and Georgians started to travel as well. In Europe, we have low-cost airlines now. So this whole development process is affecting positively. But it needs more as well, like in terms of government policies to educate public, to raise awareness, to sensitize police, and to do more of a like systemic approach to how you're dealing with discrimination issues and diversity.
How much visibility is there for LGBTI people and issues, you know, be it in the media or just in general life, or is it only the bad news stories that get told?
No. No, actually, the media picture has been developing in the past few years. I remember I started activism in 2010. And if I compare now the situation, how media was covering the issues, basically exoticizing pretty much LGBT people back in the time, like 9-10 years ago. Now, like for the last year's Tbilisi Pride, we got a huge coverage from local and international media. We had primetime coverage several times. Reportages have been made on Tbilisi Pride, and our campaigning has been immensely successful, viewed by millions of people locally and internationally. And sort of like media helped us a lot, especially the online media, because the new media has sort of has been shaping the media picture in the past years, and they are on our side and they are allies, so we get visibility a lot. It has increased in the past. We are not hidden anymore. We decided last year by organizing the first Tbilisi Pride to get out of the underground and get the public visibility as much as possible, but to get more of a positive visibility, obviously. That was our goal, so I think we managed to sort of succeed in that.
That's from Georgia in Europe. That's Gyorgy Tapagari from Tbilisi Pride speaking to us here on Joy 94.9. And I've heard a bit, actually, about Georgia being a new tourist destination. My
in
friend
the good way or the bad way?
In a good way. I was a bit surprised. I think the people from the UK are now starting to travel there. Maybe one of those, I don't want to say a brand, but one of those budget airlines might be now flying there from the UK.
Our very own Fiona, the interview coordinator, is there just as we speak.
Oh, hello, Fiona. We're doing
a thing.
Cross.
Probably listening.
So it's a thing. It's a thing. Yeah,
and
my friend actually gave us a picture, which we posted online as well from Georgia.
Yeah, no, it looks fantastic in terms of wine and food. It's obviously wine with moderation, but it looks absolutely fantastic scene, and the scenery is really picturesque.
So they're not really targeting the LGBT community as yet. It's just opening up for tourism.
Yes.
I wonder how, given that it is a newer destination, I guess it's not an over-visited one, I wonder if that is more appealing for LGBTI travellers to be at the forefront of that. Or whether there's this fear of should we go there, is it safe?
Well, that's part of the adventure, isn't it? I think, you know, it's actually finding a little bit undiscovered. There's so many places in Europe which are so over-visited. And, you know, there's mentions, I think, in the interview that there's this sort of underground club that's in Tbilisi, and that's where the all the arrests were. That club was also featured in a movie which I saw at MIFF, at the Melbourne International Film Festival, and
a
Georgian movie, a really incredible Georgian movie called And Then We Danced. It's about traditional Georgian dance, and it's about a gay relationship and what happens. And the movie was produced by a quite famous director called Levon Akin. He produced it in Sweden, and it's up for the Swedish nomination for Best Oscar for an international movie. So this is really going to put, this is partly also what was being spoken about in the interview, this is going to put Georgia and LGBT rights on the agenda, absolutely, because it's a fantastic movie.
And Gyorgy was saying that they've got the laws, the anti-discrimination laws, and so they're already, you know, getting there. It's now changing
the
population.
They've got the laws, but not the cultural change.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's changing the culture of the...
And I think these opportunities for visibility, be it having a pride parade and getting on the news, or sitting in a cinema and watching a story, an LGBT welcoming story, or one even that poses what the problems are, is a good thing for visibility. You know, that pride equals progress, if you like. In Georgia.
Well, I've gone from the last 2 months knowing nothing about Georgia to knowing quite a lot.
There you go. The other thing that's always interesting is, and we've had it with sort of countries over the eastern side of Europe, is that balancing act of are we European or are we Russian? And it's a tug of war, because There's some really positive benefits if they link in with Europe, but it comes with strings. Russia, you heard Georgi there saying Russia's actually using Europe as a bit of a negative and saying, do you really want all that?
Mm. Well, appealing to
the traditionalism.
Sorry, Matt, but there was an actual war as well. I mean, Russia tried to invade them 10 years ago. But we'll come back to that at the end of the show. We've even got a song about that.
Right. Yes, tonight we are talking all things Georgia. That's the Georgia in Europe. And you're on World Wide Wave.
Hola, mi nombre es Felix de Colombia. You are on World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
And welcome to a new member of Joy. So Terry from Reservoir, love having you a part of the Joy family. Just taken out a membership at joy.org.au.
Thank you.
Can I say Teza from Reza?
I think that's the best way to say it, because yes. I'm pretty sure that though my pronunciation is not great, I know it's not Reservoir.
But you're not Australian, have you?
I'm not Australian. Either. That's why I get it wrong. So I know Reza's much better.
And if you're from Melbourne, it's Reza.
Yeah.
We're talking all things. Actually, no, before we talk Georgia, yes. Joy Nation, got to tell people about this very, very exciting initiative. So the media landscape is changing. You see it across all there's television shows shutting down and lots of things going on. So it is a tough environment. Joy, we want to make it clear to everybody we're here to stay, but we need people behind us on that one. So we're trying to build Joy Nation, which is, I'm going to call it a fighting fund for Joy that will take. We've been here 26 years, one of only three full-time LGBTI radio stations in the world. We deliver actually more content. The other ones are much more music-based. So the kind of show that we have here that looks at international LGBTI affairs, we're pretty much the one and the only.
How long is World Wide Wave?
We've just had 400 episodes, so we're coming up to 8 years on air. That's a lot of countries. We love it, but we want to make sure it goes many, many, many years into the future as well. So want you to get on board. We've got a chuffed campaign and we'd be chuffed if you joined in. Go to joy.org.au and chip in a few dollars and that will set us up for the new Pride Centre, set us up for new media, the way media... I mean, just look at the number of podcasts that are downloaded. And actually, I was looking at the stats from last month. The United Arab Emirates has moved into the top five of Joy podcasts. There's something going on. I like it.
Yeah, the contribution we made is so significant. And I'm so excited about all the new things that we're going to do with new people coming on board, with new members, with new volunteers. Please get on board with that campaign. It is so important.
That's joy.org.au. Tonight, we're in the European state of Georgia on World Wide Wave, and catching media attention for the LGBTI community can come with risks. We asked Georgi Tabagari from Tbilisi Pride if he felt at risk by maintaining a high profile in a country where cultural support for LGBTI people has not yet caught up with the legal protections.
Well, three of the organizers, we got death threats on our mobile phones. There is an investigation happening now. During the Pride Week, the situation was out of hand. There were illegal band formations supported by a millionaire homophobe guy who basically were chasing after the organizers or anyone who allegedly looked gay before the Pride Week. I mean, it sounds unimaginable, but that's how it was happening, basically. So we lost our freedoms. We could not really move to the streets. And I already mentioned the threats that we received on our phones and hate speech on the media and the fake news. I mean, we had a whole bunch of attack, basically, from different angles. And it was not very easy to cope, to be honest. Somehow the team showed a strength and we managed to survive this without any major physical damage or we definitely got the psychological damage afterwards. But it's a tricky issue. And I think Georgians are probably one of the most homophobic people in Europe. Even though our legislation is better off now than some of the countries in Europe, the society needs to catch up. It's more like we have a progressive law, but the public attitudes are not exactly on the same page. And what we have to do now is basically to manage to equalize the public attitudes and the legislative situation.
So tell us a bit more about the work that Tbilisi Pride does. I mean, what you have a Pride Center, I understand. What services do you provide?
We are not providing any services. We have service providing organizations in Tbilisi. It's more of a, we are on advocacy and campaigning only. We do media campaign and we are using them successfully to reach out the community, to empower the community and to get to the wider audience as well. As I mentioned, we are also using traditional media such as TV, newspapers and radio. And we are also advocating before the politicians and parliamentarians, international organizations, and we are involving a lot of. Because of the political situation, it's important for us to get some sort of support from Brussels and Washington and the big players who can then later on pressure the Georgian government to make the reforms locally. So yeah, basically we are campaigning and advocating mostly, this has been our activity. We are a new organization. We have established only in February this year.
What are your hopes for the LGBT people in Georgia for the future?
Well, our hope is that we will get visibility first, and by getting the visibility, we'll mainstream the fact that there are not only heterosexual people, but there are also LGBTQI, and there are lots of non-binary people, and there should be space for everyone in this country, and we need to increase the acceptance and inclusivity in the society. So this is what I'm hoping, that by our actions, by pushing the government to modernize the state, to educate the public, to work with the media, basically to provide the proper coverage of the issue and not to present us as some sort of animals in the zoo, which has been the cases in the past. And basically, so it's a multifaceted issue. We need to work in different ways, but there is a room because in Europe, if we look at how countries were evolving and how history has been developing, pretty much like prides, we're helping to change situations to better. We have already some examples where it worked, and we are going to use this knowledge to work back in the country as well. Yeah, and change the reality where we live in. I mean, I'm 33 years old now. I don't have a lot of time to wait until changes will happen naturally, because I want to live my life now, and I want changes to happen fast. So yeah, we are pushing hard. I mean, that's why we are going to the direction of getting a lot of publicity and to use this mechanism to have a constant visibility, basically, in the public, to ensure that there is a change happening.
We love your passion. You are indeed a change maker. Giorgi Tabagari from Tbilisi Pride in Georgia, thank you so much for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you so much. And I mean, I know that I'm going to Athens next week for the Interpride General Assembly, where Sydney is running for hosting the World Pride 2023. And yeah, I mean, good luck to Australia for in getting this important event in the Pacific, which is important because it has never taken place there. So
have we got your vote?
You got my vote.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Giorgi. It's Giorgi Tabagari there from Tbilisi Pride, and one vote in the bag. We and Joy is right behind this push as well. We are very much on board with World Pride coming to Australia, coming to, I think it's the first time in the Southern Hemisphere, actually.
Yes, yeah, and I've got a feeling that, you know, we had some discussion about World Pride when it was in New York, and there was all of that kickback, and I don't think that how it was perhaps managed in New York was that inclusive. I think how we would do it here in Australia, if we get this, then we've got, fingers crossed, would be very different, and there will be a genuine human rights meeting. There'll be real push for advocacy for the Asia Pacific, and I'm really hoping that Interpride comes to Sydney in
2023. But in 2019 in Georgia, in Europe, our guest there, Giorgi, called it perhaps the most homophobic place in Europe. Even though they've got some legal protections, it hasn't filtered through. How do you change a population? How do you convince people that... he sort of was touching on... There's this argument of modernity versus traditionalism going on, and, you know, being accepting of... Having a accepting culture and LGBT visibility is a part of the modern Georgia, and the traditional is sort of the old school, perhaps the religious... traditionalism there as well. It's a hard task. I admire his strength that I'm 33 and I'm not going to wait. But the change on... cultural change is hard.
He's very passionate about it. But as we kind of discussed in the first segment as well, the church has got massive weight in Georgia. So how do you kind of reconciliate the wish to be less homophobic and when priests actually go out and demonstrate against pride?
That was a few years ago, and I think what he's doing is exactly what you should be doing, which is about you set up community and you set up advocacy at the local level. And he's quite modest about what he's doing, about saying, you know, it was only a few, only it was last year I think that the organization was set up. And you put things on the profile, you develop internally that discussion about equal rights and about human rights in your country.
He is also conscious, though, of the international implications, the international, or the ability of the international community to help, so that certain carrots or certain sticks from Brussels, from the European Union, push the Parliament, and some of those people in the middle ground of Parliament will go, well, actually, you know, the bigger picture for the future of our country is to head towards Europe, therefore we're going to make some changes. Yeah. So he's quite global in his thoughts as well.
I was just looking at some data online, and there's a big difference between people from different parties in Georgia and their attitudes, and I think people who are more Republican-minded, it said, actually were much more positive towards LGBTI rights. So there are big differences, in it, you know, and populations, demographics change over time.
You're on World Wide Wave, and coming up next is World Wide Rap.
Oh,
World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. That was a bit of George Michael Wham style with Freedom. We'll take you out with a bit of music.
A little bit of Georgian music, is it?
Yeah, and this is a comment on, Georgian comment on Vladimir Putin. See if you can get the pun in it.
Catch you next week on World Wide Wave. Another glass of the moonshine will kick the hell out of me. But let me throw this in good stuff. Some good stuff, just good stuff. We don't wanna talk again. The negative move is killing the groove. I'ma try to shine in. Let's go tonight. Boogie with you. So many people are by me. They faking all day long. The bitching real is forever. Endeavor, endeavor. You better change your perspective. Your life won't be out of luck. A groovy sun will be rising. Keep rising. It's rising. We don't want to work in. The negative move is killing the groove. I'ma try to shut in.
Sexy, say give me sexy,
thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.